On a Holy Spirit series, and if you graduated from our youth department, I preached on Holy Spirit for 2 years. So listen, there's a lot to know because you know God is so complex and so many different layers to Him. But really, Holy Spirit is the presence of God here on the earth with us, right? So we're just going to talk about how God operates with us on the earth to represent Himself. So the title of my message is Holy Spirit Part 7. If you want to check them out, they are online on ycf.com. And the title is Running Into Divine Appointments. Running Into Divine Appointments. And we're going to focus in on Acts chapter 8. In fact, it's a really good one to study in a couple different translations. I recommend the Amplify Bible and the Passion Translation. And that's the TPT. It's a new one. And it's really, really good to go back and study it on your own. So you can write down Acts chapter 8. 26 through 40. And we're going to study about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and this divine appointment on the road. So that's going to be the brunt of what we're studying today. So I have a question for you guys. Raise your hand if you ever just, I'm going to tell a little bit of a story about you and us. And I want you to just raise your hand when you find yourself in these moments, okay? Have you ever found yourself at a crossroads in life where you didn't know what or where to go? You know what a crossroads is? I could go this way, I could go this way, I could go this way, I could even go back. And you know, it's interesting at a crossroads, what do? Like double check our GPS, you know, we kind of stop because once you kind of take that path, it could take you off course, right? And it's interesting, I've definitely found myself at a crossroads, and if you know me, you know what I'm talking about, but we're just going to say, how many people besides myself have found yourself at a crossroads of decision? And sometimes the weight and the heaviness, maybe even, what's the right word? I'm off notes, but the seriousness, the weightiness of that. Like you kind of feel that internal tugging of the Holy Spirit, but you're questioning it, right? Because, you know, people are telling you one thing, you know, even wisdom may say one thing, but there's this like voice inside of you because the Holy Spirit's inside of you, right? But it's just sometimes confusing or you feel overwhelmed or the emotions kind of kick it up and you just get stuck, right? Anybody been there? Been there? How many people like myself have had someone come up out of nowhere? Could be a friend, a family member, or a total stranger. Maybe a person at church you've never really had a legit conversation out of, hi, good to see you. And they come up to you in that crossroad moment, not even knowing that moment in your life. And they speak such profound encouragement that weight lifts, that confusion lifts. And all of a sudden the clarity of the Holy Spirit rises up because He's always talking to you, right? God's not going to use someone else to tell you something that He can just tell you Himself. He is going to use someone else to confirm what He's already talking. We're just too up in our head to hear Him. Amen. Right? So I've been there many a times. Anybody had that like kind of moment just out of nowhere in that moment when you needed it the most, and it may be the I quit moment or I can't do this moment. I am falling apart emotionally, financially. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm calling off sick for the week moment. And someone comes up to you and speaks what I want to call, and we're going to talk about what is a prophetic word of encouragement. It basically just means they are tuned in with the Holy Spirit and they come to you in that moment and it just breathes life, peace, clarity, joy, direction. And God's like, I got you. And you know which way to go. And I've been there and I'd like to thank this congregation because I've actually had some divine appointments from people sitting right here. In some really rough places where I was looking back at that dark road and going, that doesn't define me, but where do I go from here? And I'm not going to cry because you know I'm a crier. My dad was a crier. I would like to thank this beautiful church family. And you probably didn't even know it. Sometimes getting through those doors was really hard. But I was met with such love and encouragement and uncles and aunts, brothers and sisters. And you may not have even known, but some of the things you spoke into my life says onward and upward, moving forward. And I'd like to thank you guys for that. I've also had strangers out of nowhere come up to me. How many people, strangers out of nowhere? Yeah. My best friend from high school, she's got six kids, man, six kids. And they were struggling to sell their house, just in discouragement, fighting depression, money pit of the house. And they were running around Park City Mall with six kids. And this stranger out of nowhere, he's probably like a grandpa kind of age, went up to them and just says, "I don't know you, but I was just watching you. And you are incredible parents." He looked at the father. "You are just, wow, the way you lead your family with such love and grace." And to my friend, Rachel, they hang on your every word, and she's a teacher. And it was just kind of that encouragement. And it just was like, we're doing something right. You know, maybe everything else isn't happened, but something's going on. And then he spoke encouragement to them, and they just kind of opened up about this house. And he goes, "You know what? There's a reason." And he just kind of spoke into the situation, and all of a sudden light lifted, direction, clarity, and they saw Jesus in the midst of these things. And by the way, my friends don't go to a church that really talks about a lot of these things, but they love Jesus with all their heart. And she went up to me, she goes, "He was sent by God." I said, "Yes, he was." So, let's see. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. We got to remember to not just stop here, right? Because the Bible says this, it says, "Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself," Paul quoted him, and he says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." I love receiving. Hello, Christmas. But guess what? I love giving. Hello, Christmas. Right? So we're going to talk about today is we're not going to just receive these things, because how many people have been blessed by that divine encounter? And it doesn't have to be a super churchy, like hyper spiritual moment. It's just like in that strategic moment, God sends someone. But we are going to learn how to receive and activate all the gifts God has given us in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And one of them that I'm going to continue to talk about today is how to hear from God a prophetic word of encouragement to strengthen, build up, and comfort someone in a really strategic moment in their life. All right. So what is exactly the Spirit-filled life? Well, I got like six other messages you can dig into it, but I'll just say this. It is a life of more. You know, there's more than just getting born again. And Jesus saved us from hell. Praise God. But, you know, we can experience heaven on earth. That means love and joy and peace. So the Spirit-filled life is a life filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Right? Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, self-control, gentleness, all these things. And it is also a life filled and overflowing, not only with those things, but also gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you can study that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just going to touch on one of them today. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples as he departed, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might. And you will be my witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That means you got to first be a witness in your own home, right? And a witness in your workplace. And then, you know, it got me here. You know, we got to start where we're at. Okay. And then after that, wherever you go, all over the world, and God is going to be a light through you and reach other people. So the Spirit-filled life, this word "filled" actually comes from a Greek word, which means to fill to the point of overflowing and saturation. So it's an overflowing. I'm just doing a little bit, Mom. See, a little overflowing. She doesn't look. But so to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you got so much of him, it's overflowing onto the people around you. I'll just stick this over here. Over the people around you. And we get the ability to reach lost and hurting people and also to prophesy, to speak life, encouragement, strength, and comfort into them. So when the Holy Spirit filled them to a point of excess and to overflow, think about this. The Holy Spirit wants to fill every part of your life, right? Not just compartmentalize at church. But he's a gentleman, and he's only going to take as much space as you give him, right? So when we receive the Holy Spirit in our lives, when you give your life to Jesus, we receive Holy Spirit, right? But it's just a portion. And he's like knocking. He's going, hey, I want to overflow in every area of your life. Knock, knock, knock. And we can let him out, right? And fill our lives. And I'm not spraying anybody, but it's my favorite analogy. When you ask to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we get supercharged with the power of God. See this little seltzer water? So there is power surging through this bottle. And when you shake it up through worship and prayer and the word and talking to other Christians and just sharing testimonies of what God has done, it kind of stirs you up, right? But it's your choice to keep the lid on. And the problem is oftentimes we only take the lid off at church, but we forget when we go to Walmart that there are people around us that needs to receive the power of God in their life and the love and the encouragement of the Lord. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is meant to burn through you like a fire, like a wildfire. touches everything around them, and it is contagious. Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, he says this, the words of God, his word burns in my heart like fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I can't keep it in. I've got to let it out. And when we spend time with him and we invite him to overflow in areas of our life, we just want to tell other people what God's doing in our life. We want to share the good report. We want to share about, you know, our son or daughter that we've been praying for 20 years. They came home. They came home. They opened up their Bible for the first time in 20 years. We share that with people. We received healing in their body. Maybe we've been praying for healing. And all of a sudden, you know, Satan tried to put the C-bomb in your life. I hate that thing. I don't even like to say the word. And I'll tell you, and you're going through the process and standing on the word. And all of a sudden you went to the doctor and they says, you're healed. You're clear. We got to shout that from the rooftop. That encourages other people, right? But we can get so in our grind of our own little world that we forget and we only talk about them at church. This is a spirit-filled life. Amen? So the Bible says this in Ephesians 5:18. He says, be being, the original Greek word. It's good to go to the original context, right? It doesn't say be filled with the Holy Spirit, a one-time thing. It says constantly and continually be overflowing. That's that Greek word, with the Holy Spirit. Because in the pressures of life and the daily grind, we start to leak. We get tired. You know, Sunday's awesome. Monday hits you in the face. By the time Wednesday comes around, you're like, I just want to Netflix it and wake up on Saturday, you know, and that's why it's good to go to a grow group or just once again, build yourself up in the Lord, put some worship music on, pray on the way to church. So why do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Duh. Because the world needs Jesus in you. They're just straight up. They need Jesus in you. And we are surrounded by lost and hurting, broken, and really just confused people. Today we're going to talk about a man that was seeking God, but he was just confused. I run into that all the time as a youth pastor. You know, there's not a lot of clarity because people don't read their Bible straight up. They don't read about Jesus. So they don't really know what he means. They know what some silly people have represented him as, which is unbiblical. So they're confused. And so we bring the clarity of who Jesus really is. So how do you know that you are being prompted by the Holy Spirit to give a prophetic word of encouragement to someone? How do we know that? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit directs us with compassion. And I taught on this in the past. I won't spend a lot of time on it. But Jesus, if you read, he is continually moved with compassion. If you Google that, Jesus moved with compassion, you'll see over and over again, every time he saw people, he's moved with compassion. He starts to minister to them and heal sick people and set people free and heal broken hearts. And 1 John 4:17 says, as Jesus was on this earth, so are we called to be. So if Jesus operated with great compassion when he saw people, and that was this signal, that was the neon sign. I got compassion towards someone. That was the neon sign that says, okay, now go start a conversation, go pray with them or encourage them. So God is love, right? God is love. So think about this. When you sense the love of God going towards someone, which is what compassion is. You ever just, you know, walk through Walmart and you see this person with a mullet with a screaming child and you're like, I just have great love and compassion for them. That it is hard, you know, and don't just blow it off. Just be like, you know, I don't know why there's 50 million screaming children at Walmart and 50 million people with mullets at Walmart. Why am I just feeling extra love towards this one? I love mullets. It's great. You know, I was a child of the 80s. Okay. That is the love of God. That is the tangible. God is love. It is the Holy Spirit in you flowing out. There is a divine love flow coming out of you towards that person. But are we going to keep the lid on? So in that moment, ask him, what am I to do? Maybe you're just supposed to pray for them. But to be honest with you, just start a conversation. We're going to talk about how to do that today because some people are like, how many people are just naturally a little bit more introverted? Okay, gotcha. All right, so that's okay. I'm going to give you some really practical, simple ways to just start that conversation. And you know, I know some of the most profound ministers are actually introverted and it's so funny. Like they're like the biggest extrovert, like up at the pulpit. But they're like go onto the plane and they put their earbuds in. I don't want to talk to nobody. Okay. Like, you know, it's okay. We all have our moments here. All right. So your coworkers need you, neighbors need you, strangers at the pool need you to shine Jesus and encourage them. But we can't be afraid to get our hands dirty in drama. By the way, we, for some reason, are greatly entertained by drama. You know what? You can turn your TV off and just soak up everybody else's drama around you. You don't need reality TV. There is reality drama all around you. And Jesus was not intimidated by it. He didn't take it on. He, you know what I mean? He set him free. So It will probably cost you some time. Might even cost you lunch. You might even buy someone lunch. Who cares, right? Because a life gets changed. You know, everybody likes to think they're the Good Samaritan. But when people are broken, emotionally bleeding out in the ditch of life, how many people, oh, I'll pray for you. They pray and they just keep walking. That's not what the Good Samaritan did. He got right down in the ditch with him and grabbed him. Amen. And a lot of us are like, well, I don't know what to say. Guess what? The Bible says this, when you open up your mouth, he will fill it. Psalms 81 verse 10. It also says in Matthew 10, 19, do not worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. At that time, you'll be given words to say. What does that mean? Peter got out of the boat. Take a risk. Start a conversation. Gosh, talk about the weather. Who knows? Just start the conversation. Like I said, I'll give you steps to do that. So we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us and flow into a prophetic word of encouragement. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. This is the New Testament kind of definition of prophecy. And like I said, in future weeks, we'll talk about the different kinds. But in the New Testament, it says, one who prophesies speaks to people for the edification. The Amplified Bible says, to strengthen, to promote their spiritual growth. So when you strengthen someone, reconnecting with God, strengthening, or if they don't have a walk with God, or if they do, you know, there's a lot of Christians that need encouragement. My goodness, I was a lost Christian for a long time. Speak word of encouragement to uphold and advise them concerning matters of God. They're going to be confused about certain things. I deal with tons of young people. They're just confused about all kinds of different issues. And they need some clarity about who Jesus is and God's will for their life. And you can bring that. And the last thing is to speak words of consolation and comfort. Compassionate comfort. There's so many things I could say on that one. But when someone experiences a loss, there is really nothing you can say in your own strength, right? Sometimes you just sit with someone and you cry with them. And God might just give you a story that's just going to bring comfort. And we know that needs to come from Holy Spirit, right? A prophetic word is really simply seeing the hidden gold in the midst of someone else's life, in the midst of the dirt, of the drama, of the pain, of the brokenness, and you see the gold. You see who God has created them to be and who God sees themselves as, right? You got to see them through the eyes of God. It shows them the good God stuff going on in the midst of the crazy and the drama and the brokenness. God has a purpose and a plan for their life, and they are valued and worthy, and God wants them and desires them just as they are. Come to him with your dirt, baby, because he'll clean you up, right? It reveals the treasure in their life, the gifts and the purposes of God that Satan does not want them to see. We walk in the midst of how many people that they're how do I say this? Your office, your career path, there's a lot of dark kind of weights around you. People that are broken and stressed out and just kind of attacking. They need you to find the gold in them because they sure don't see it in themselves or anyone else. So how do I even start a prophetic Holy Spirit conversation? We're going to talk about a divine appointment. So Acts chapter 26, verse 40, we're going to follow Philip in his example, how he ministered to an Ethiopian eunuch. So in verses 5 through 17, the context of it, and go read all of Acts chapter 18. It's really awesome, and I've taught on it in the past. There is a huge revival going on in this place called Samaria, and I've talked about it, right? So it was kind of, Samaria was a place the church didn't like going of that day, right? You know, they were complicated, and you know what? God loves complicated. He's going to send you to some complicated situations. And there was a powerful revival happening. Signs, wonders, miracles, blind eyes opening, people that hadn't walked before. And God's doing this huge, powerful thing. Sounds good, right? I'd want to stay there, wouldn't you? I'd want to stay there. But it's so funny, right when something good happens and you get comfortable in it, God normally calls you to go somewhere else. So in verse 26, it says this, later God's angel spoke to Philip. And at noon today, it says noon. Okay, imagine noon today. It's what, like 90 degrees outside? Okay, at noon today, I want you to walk over to the desert road. Fantastic. That goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. And that's all he said. So how many people want to leave the nice air-conditioned church where there's signs and wonders and miracles and everybody's happy, happy, happy? And at noon, in the middle of the day, he sends you into a desert road and doesn't tell you why. Sound like God? You know, God, he really loves to not give us a lot of details. You know, I would do tons of stuff if he would just tell me why and what's going to happen and how easy it's going to be. But that's not faith, right? Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Take a risk. So he's not going to give you all the details. You're going to get this funny little prompt that says, you know what? Today's a day I'm just going to go to the Galleria Mall. I don't even got, you know, 20 bucks to spend, but I'm just going to go to the Galleria Mall and sit instead of people watch and make fun of people like everybody else does. I'm going to sit and pray for people. See, God's not going to give any details. You just kind of feel led to go to a certain coffee house, a certain park, go to the pool. And the reason why God doesn't give you a lot of details is simply because he wants to do it with you. And if he tells you all the details, you don't need them and you're going to do it without him. Put your hand in the pudding and mess it all up and he doesn't get the glory. Right? So be okay with less details. You know, I love details. How many people love the details? I want to know the whole plan. All right. Well, this is how it works. So hello, God, could you be any more vague in the situation? He doesn't tell us what's going to happen, but Philip's antenna is up. So my question to you, is your antenna up to hear God in the midst of busy plans and even good God things? Is your antenna up? Are you willing to put aside the good stuff, the God stuff, the churchy stuff? And go wait on him and see what he wants to do. I don't like waiting. I'm very impatient. Actually, I don't like going to the mall. I'll be honest with you. People think I like going to the mall. No, because people walk too slow. Like I got places to go. We're not even talking about driving right now, but I don't even like when people walk too slow. So I don't like to wait. So 2 Timothy 4:2 says this in the New Living Translation. It says, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. We got to create space. You know, some of us jam pack our schedule so much that there's nothing else to do. Okay. I'm going to be really careful because it's probably stepping on something a little bit. Okay. My parents had 4 kids. As soon as you have a kid, period, you're busy. Just straight up. But I would really encourage you to fast and pray about how much busyness is really vital to your life. Do your kids need to play 2 different sports every season? Can I be honest? Do you need to drag them to everything, whatever? Okay, listen, connect with others. Make some friends. This thing called a carpool. It's called a carpool. You might have to make a friend to do it. Bring them some brownies, you know? But listen, I want to be careful how I say that because I watch, you can get really, really busy. But we got to make sure it's a God thing. And we're not busy to stay busy. Most people stay busy to keep their mind off what God wants them to do with their life. Being really straight with you. A lot of people that are so busy, they are just running from that pool that says, hey, here's what I really want you to do with me. The Passion Translation says, whether it's convenient or not, preach in the full expression of the Holy Spirit. It's not convenient. Nothing about the gospel is convenient. But along the way, you got to go to the grocery store, keep your antenna up. See who God would have you just encourage, right? There's a lot of things we got to do. Now, listen, I came from a big family. There was always a ton of things that had to get done. But I watched my parents interact with people along the way, right? We got to go to Lowe's. My mom's always going to Lowe's. Her house is on the market, praise God. But always going to Lowe's, and we smile, and we love, and we encourage along the way. Keep your antenna up. All right, so that is my first point. Okay, so 9 keys to being led into divine appointments. A divine appointment is a God appointment where he brings some people together. So number one is keep the antenna up. Ask God what he wants you to do today. There's a really great book that came out when I was a kid, and my dad gave it to me. It said, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And the essence of that book is to wake up and go, Good morning, Holy Spirit. That he's the first person you think about that day. And all you say is this, Good morning, Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm yours. What do you want to talk about today? What do you want to do with me today? God doesn't want you working for him. He's a good dad. He wants to hang out with you while you do it together, right? So we're not working for him. We are hanging out with him in this journey. But see what he wants to do with you today. Number 2, be willing to put time aside to get quiet, wait, and hear. Struggles. By the way, I hate morning. I hate morning, but I love coffee. We work that out. Hate morning, love coffee. I have a giant coffee cup. And I'll tell you, I love waking up a little bit earlier and I spend time with God and my coffee. It's great. And so, you know, just quiet your heart, lay your agenda and your laundry list aside. What is the laundry list? It's all the prayers that you need God to do. And why don't you ask him, who do you want me to pray for? What do you want to talk to me about? So, you know, it's really simple. I'd say this: God, what do you want to talk to me about today? Open your Bible. And you just might get this like tug, just, I don't know, maybe we're just going to read in Romans today. I don't know. Close your eyes. What do you want to talk about today? We have to set that time aside, right? You know, if you don't have that time, I'll say just social media fast. It's like crazy. As soon as I turn on Facebook, 20 minutes of my life is like gone. But 20 minutes of your life with Jesus is really fruitful. 20 minutes of your life on Facebook, you feel like poop because you just compare yourself to everybody else and all their happy moments and whatever. So you know what? Fasting social media could be a great thing for you. It's good for business, not good for the heart. All right. Open yourself up for God to connect you with someone. So I want to say this. So, okay, we're going to create some space. And sometimes for that space, we need to step aside from our groupie entourage. So, you know, York County people, what do? We hang out with only our family. We're working on this, okay? Create some space, invite some people along. Or, you know, if you're with a bunch of friends, sometimes just like kind of like put yourself on kind of the edge seat. Put, you know, if you're all going to go to the movie, put yourself on the end seat. Dare I say, sit beside someone. Well, what if they smell? Well, you know what? They probably need Jesus. Okay. So position yourself, right? Open yourself up. Okay. Natural resting face. I have a family member that her natural resting face is not a Jesus face. They have a name for it. We're not going to say it, nor are we going to say their name, but it's like, you see that natural resting face and you don't want to sit beside them. Like, and straight up. And they may be thinking about sunshine and rainbows, but their face is like, Okay. So just want to encourage you, try a Jesus face. At least be a peaceful face. A smile is really, really good. Take your earbuds out. We're in a generation of always having your earbuds in. Work with your kids on this one. When you're in a public place, if you're at a store or at a cashier, take your earbuds out. You might be shocked what kind of interaction you're going to have at the park or the pool if your earbuds are out. Okay? All right. Let's see here. Number three, don't delay. Immediately obey. Parents love this one. Don't delay. Immediately obey. My parents had this phrase when they'd ask us to do something. We were totally brainwashed. How many people, brainwashing is good if your kids are good? Okay, so they would look at me and like my cousins know this. My dad would be like, oh, they would ask us to do something and we had to respond, yes, mom, or yes, dad, I obey the first time. You know, half the time we still stood and looked at them with their finger up our nose. But after a while, yes, mom, yes, dad, I obey the first time. So it's funny, James, you know this in the youth ministry. I was like, I have one rule. Because we have sometimes like at an event, we'll have about 30 kids out there. It's pretty bananas. And I say, I have one rule. I only ask once. That's what I say. Like, I can't say that because they're not my kids, but I only ask one time, right? Because that's what the one thing that keeps chaos from really breaking open and, you know, nutso stuff. Okay. So delayed obedience is disobedience, right, parents? Yeah. I'll clean my room tomorrow. Is that obeying? No. When is it convenient to obey God? Ever. Never. So in verse 27, it says he left immediately on his assignment. Praise God. Philip said, I don't need details. I'm going to take a risk and I'm going to go immediately. Because if you don't go immediately, you're going to miss the person that God puts in your path. Well, I went and nothing happened. Well, did you sit on it for an hour looking for a confirmation and like, you know, something? I look in the clouds. I was going to see writing on the sky that this was really you. You know, this is called faith, you know, even though you don't see it. All right. All right. And I want to say this. Like, people are like, well, was it God? I don't know if it was God. If it was inconvenient, if it was uncomfortable, it's not you. Nothing in you wants to do something that's uncomfortable. Do you enjoy going up to strangers saying, hey, notice you got a bum leg. We're in the middle of my favorite store. I'm like friends with the cashier. Can I pray for you right now? Like, is that you? Do you really want to do that? Right? If it's in the morning, it's definitely not me. Anything that wants to happen in the morning. I'll tell you a story about a morning encounter. I hate morning. I don't want to do anything before 10 a.m. ever. So, you know, and honestly, if God could be glorified, does Satan want you praying for someone? Does Satan want you to encourage someone? No. So is it Satan? No. Is it you? No. Must be God. Do you need to sit on this one for 2 hours? Just take a risk. This is called the adventure. All right. So run to go obey. Verse 27 through 30, along the way, he encountered an Ethiopian who believed in God, in the God of the Jews, who was the treasurer of Ethiopia. So this was a man unknowing, a man of high authority and influence. This is a high government leader. that just so happened to be on the road that everybody else travels. Just so randomly was, you know, on that park bench. All right. And it says he was a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He was on his way home from worshiping God in Jerusalem. As he rode along in his chariot, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go and walk alongside the chariot." So what was Philip's response? "It's hot outside. This is a stranger. This is going to be awkward and uncomfortable." No, he like ran. He ran up. He could not wait to see what adventure God had for him. So he not only immediately responded, he joyfully ran up in the desert on a hot day. I don't like running for anyone. I tell my students this all the time. I had a student real sweet. They were doing Girls on the Run and they're like, "Would you like to train with me?" I was like, "Let me introduce you to my cousin, Laura, who's a great runner and like loves to run." Like they're very athletic on my other side of the family. Like these endorphins come out. Like I am like in misery. I'd rather put a fork through my eye. And I was like, "No, I don't really want to run for Girls on the Run, but I'll hang out with you and eat ice cream." Joyfully, joyfully. All right, so he's running and enjoying it. Okay. All right. So number 4 point, go and meet people on their own turf. Philip went to a public road where people are going to cross your path. Now, this is Pennsylvania, Dutch, German culture. It's cold in the Northeast. People are a little bit more keep to themselves. We're a little bit more hermits up in the Northeast. But, you know, like this is a really good opportunity to join a gym, join a pool, join a hunt club, have a hobby that involves other people, right? Because if all your hobbies only involve you and Jesus are going to have a great time. But is anybody else going to encounter him? So, you know, just stretch yourself a little bit. Okay, I go skiing. I'm actually a really mediocre skier. And when my Uncle Jim takes me skiing, like I get really close to Jesus because he takes me down like all like the trails that I like want to throw up. And I just pray in the spirit the whole time. I get really close to God. Do I love skiing? I love being with my family. I love being with my family, but guess what? I also love being around other people in the dead of winter. It was an opportunity. I'd always talk to people on, like, I don't sit there like on the ski lift, not talking to me. I always strike up a conversation on the ski lift. I always talk to people in the ski shop, whatever. It was one opportunity for my non-athletic self to connect with other people. All right. And hey, if you're like not into, you know, take an art class. There's going to be 5 other people in there, right? You might start a conversation. All right. Let's see here. We got to get outside of the church and we got to get outside of our homes. Why do we have grow groups? We try to push grow groups into people's homes because your neighbor's going to eventually ask, "Hey, why are there like 6 cars in front of your house every Wednesday night?" Well, hey, I actually got this, you know, a bunch of people that we come over and talk about God. You want to come? It's an opportunity to be a light. Okay. So number 5, relevant topics. Find a relevant topic to start a conversation. Anything. And you know what? Just a very sincere compliment. That's really like prophetic. Like it has to be sincere. "I like your shoes." No, like, "Hey, you know what? Hey, like how do I say this? I'm a Jeep person. So if anybody drives a Jeep, I notice a Jeep and I tell them about my cousin's shop and it just starts a conversation, right? It could be anything. Let me think here. Relevant topics. You know, people want to talk about world events. You know, anything going on the news, anything going on in the local community and a local business opening up, just start a conversation and ask the Holy Spirit. He'll do it. Let's see. Verse 30. Sorry. As Philip drew closer, he overheard the man reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, "Sir, do you understand what you're reading?" Did he make it awkward? He goes up to him, "Thus saith the Lord Goddess, I've been sent out into the deserteth, and God has sent me. I have a message for you." And they'd be like, "Yo, okay, I my cell phone's ringing. I gotta go, weirdo." Oh my gosh, right? Okay, seriously, like how we interact with people is going to make or break you. Don't make it weird. Do not make it weird. Start a conversation. Come on. All right, you don't need to use the Christianese terms. "Bless God, I just got out of church today." You better leave a good tip then if that's your waitress. You better, they know you came from church. They overhear anything about Jesus. You give them a mind-blowing tip. But don't make it weird. You know, talk normal. Talk normal, okay? Why do I have to tell you? Because I've been around a lot of people. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're so embarrassing. All right. So, and also, if you don't talk to non-Christians, you're going to talk weird. Right? You're laughing because it's true. If you only talk to Christians, you're going to lose the language of the common, normal people. So, you know, talk to real people. Have, like, normal friends that aren't Christians, you know, too. All right. Let me think here. All right. Number six, transition to a natural topic to a spiritual topic. Transition from a natural topic to a spiritual topic. So this is a thing called practicing active listening. I'm going to share a story at the end of my points here about doing that. So you can be talking to someone and internally just put your antenna up. Go, Jesus, if there is anyone here you want me to talk to at the restaurant or, you know, at the pool, you know, I'm with you. And if you start a conversation with someone, this is an opportunity. So just get quiet in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud in front of them. That'd be weird. But just say it in your heart. Just be like, Holy Spirit, just show me how to bring you into this conversation. And I'll tell you, the moment you pray, you will be shocked how God makes it so easy for you. Because here's what happens in verse 31. The man answered, how can I possibly make sense of this without someone to explain it to me? So he invited Philip up into his chariot to sit with him. You know, you could be at a coffee shop and start a conversation because they're wearing a football jersey of a team that you either can't stand or you love. It's a great conversation no matter what, right? And after you get into it a little bit, or maybe you're into NASCAR, they're like, hey, slide over here. You know, hey, let me buy you a coffee. You know, it just happens, right? All right. So God will make it easy and look, and God will give you a window to transition anything and bring him into it. Number seven, identify the real need the person has in their life. So we're going to talk about the Ethiopian eunuch here. It says, let me put it this, he was confused. He was seeking God, but things weren't really lining up. He didn't quite get it. So we are surrounded by confused people, lost people, hurting people, depressed people, people dealing with anxiety in their life. And God has given you a story. God supernaturally freed me from panic attacks and insomnia and depression. That's a testimony. And let me tell you, I run into more people that are dealing with depression and anxiety or insomnia. And I just share the story and I give God glory. And all of a sudden we bring Jesus into the conversation, right? So the eunuch talks about, you know, he's searching for God, right? And he's confused. So we identify the real need is he needs Jesus. But also the cultural context of a eunuch, and I don't have a lot of time to talk into it. It's a scripture in Deuteronomy. But according to the Jewish law, and let me tell you, all the hoops the Jews had you jump through. And it's really to say, aren't you glad Jesus came? Now you don't have to jump through any hoops. So the Ethiopian eunuch traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And I don't know if he was on business or pleasure. But all it tells us is he went to go worship the one true God. Did you know he couldn't even get in the temple? He was a eunuch. So what? It was a sacrifice he made to have major influence in an incredible nation, right? Sacrifices he made, just the culture of that day. And we don't have to go way into it, but they wanted it safe that there wouldn't be any weirdness in the court. So you didn't get married and you couldn't get married. So that was the sacrifice you made to be a person of great influence in a nation, to be safe. He couldn't go into the temple to worship. I gripped my heart and I thought, but he was so hungry for God. He wanted to get as close as he possibly could. What's it like to seek God and go to a church and they say, oh, your dress is too short. Mm-mm. Oh, your marital status. I don't know about that one. You know, you're a little rough around the edges. You wore flip-flops. You don't belong here. You ever felt unwelcomed in a church? You don't belong here. I'll tell you, and I won't name a name. I take my kids to all different churches in the area. I just do because we are one body. We meet in different buildings, right? And there's one church, no names. And I met this youth pastor and he was inviting everybody to his conference. And I was like, I'll go. So I only had a handful of kids that could go because it was a school night. And I always try to dress really conservative when I visit another church, very appropriate or whatever. And I walk in and they greeted me with so much love. And like, we're interacting with all the students, made us feel so at home. I was the only one in pants. It was a church that the women had to wear long skirts or whatever. And by the way, I wear a lot of makeup. I just like to paint my face. My grandmother and my father were artists. So this is me painting my face. I stood out. They were so kind and loving and accepting to me. Like we were just embraced and celebrated. So you know what? We could be different, but still welcoming, right? Amen. And like I said, that's a compliment to that church, but I don't want you to think anything, right? All right. So he traveled all that way to be rejected and saying, you're not good enough to hang out with the religious elites. I'm sorry, you can't sit at the table with the elders. You know, How dumb is that? Come on. I'm going to be careful how I say this. Women ministers is very interesting. It's a little bit of an interesting club you don't always get invited to. But guess what? We love. Just because they're uncomfortable around us or they don't know how to interact with us, we still love them, right? We love them because Jesus first loved us and we love others. So this Ethiopian eunuch is seeking God and he met rejection. Not good enough. You don't belong here. And Philip was sent out in the road in the middle of the desert to rip off that root of confusion and rejection and say, Jesus is the Messiah and he's already came. The one you've been seeking for. Not only does he clarify scripture, he introduces him to Jesus. Jesus wants you and loves you and you're in his inner circle and he's got many mansions with lots of rooms and he wants you right beside him all the way. Welcome to the gospel. The almost too good to be true news. What Jesus loves me, imperfect me that doesn't fit the mold. Here's the break in the mold, right? That's how much God loved this man. He took Philip out of this really cool, yay, revival, fun stuff into the middle of the desert for someone that was said, I'm seeking God, but I'm not good enough to hang out with the religious elite. And that was a lie from the pit of hell, right? And he sent someone to bring clarity, freedom, rip off rejection, and just introduce him to Jesus. So cool. This is how much God loves us. And also, a close relationship with Jesus is the answer to every problem. So, you know, they may be talking about, you know, one of their kids is on drugs and going through rehab for the third time. Yes, that's a problem. But guess what the answer is always? Jesus. So that brings us to our, where am I at here? Number 8, find the gold in the midst of the dirt and speak life to the answer. People are going to often, if you have a conversation long enough with someone and you build some trust, they're going to open up problems, right? So in the midst of the mess and the drama, speak life over their life, right? Speak life. So, you know, it could be, it could be, you know, maybe they're about to lose their house. And they need encouragement. And you just say this, you know what? You're going to get through this. And God is going to save your family. And he's going to get you guys in a safe place. And God is going to give you a story to go help somebody else through this. That they're never going to have to go through that. Or they're never going to have to fear. Whatever it may be. Maybe it's a medical condition. And you bring encouragement, life, and hope. Whatever it is. You know, if they're a high drama person, you know what? God's going to see through that some influence. And he's going to pull that back and just say, you know, you're an influencer. You know, maybe they're all gossiping rah, about the school and then you cut that down. But you know what? You see problems, but you're going to be a part of the solution. You're going to go into that school district and clean that thing up and God's going to be glorified. You speak life. All right, verse 32 through 34. The portion from Isaiah he was reading was this. He was led away to the slaughter like a lamb to be offered. He was a lamb that is silent before those who sheared him. He never even opened his mouth. In his lowliness, justice was stripped away from him. Who could fully express his struggles? For his life was taken from the earth. And the Ethiopian asked Philip, he said, please, can you tell me who the prophet is speaking of? Is it himself or another man? Could God make it any easier? He just had to be obedient. Verse 9, last key, be ready to present the good news. The gospel is the almost too good to be true news. It sounds so crazy, people don't want to believe it. What is the gospel? Jesus came and he died for you. He took the bullet for you. He rose again. He's freed you from hell. But guess what? It's not just what he saved you from. It's what he saved you to. He saved you to a life of freedom and peace and love and belonging and healing, body, mind, and spirit, every area. This is the good news. Tell him everything that Jesus bought back at the cross. We sometimes just leave him there. Wait a minute. You know, there was more to it. We got healed. And know this, the statistics, like I said, there's different statistics. Some people say 7 times, 10 times. I read one that says 5 to 6 times. People will be presented the true gospel of who Jesus is. And they might not give their life to Jesus in that moment. But seeds are planted. And you don't know if Apollos watered or Paul harvested, right? But no matter what, celebrate because a seed was sown. Just because you didn't get them to repeat the prayer doesn't mean God's not going to get glorified. And in fact, if you push too hard, you're going to shut it down. Your job is to present the gospel, present an opportunity. Let Holy Spirit do the rest, or maybe it's going to be the person after you. So verses 36 through 40 says this, As they were traveling down the road, the man said, "Look here, a pool of water. Why don't I get baptized right now?" Once again, could it be any easier? You'd be shocked how easy this is. I work with young people. They are so hungry to know who real Jesus is. They are so hungry to know real Holy Spirit, because honestly, a lot of churches don't talk to them, and that how God wants to talk to them and the power of God. Like, they want to know. They don't want religion. They don't want all the hoops. No, neither do we. They're ripe. The harvest is ripe. The laborers are us, okay? Let's see where we are. All right, so the man answered, "I believe that Jesus..." Wait, he says, hold on. Philip says, "If you believe with all your heart, I'll baptize you." Then the man answers, "I believe Jesus is the anointed one, the Son of God." And the Ethiopian stopped his chariot and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, Philip was suddenly snatched up by the Spirit of God and instantly carried away to the city of Eshad, where he reappeared preaching the gospel in that city. Anybody else watch Star Trek? Grew up on the stuff. Big bowl of popcorn every Sunday. Okay, so what was that? Eating my popcorn. Beam me up, Scotty. Okay, he goes down under the water and he got beamed up and moved to a whole other city, because God had another work for him. Well, why couldn't God do that the first time? I don't know. Maybe you just need to learn about being obedient. I don't know. Hey, God likes to mix it up. There's no formula with him. All right, so many Ethiopians, I did some Googling. By the way, Ethiopia to this day is a primarily Christian nation. Even with other religions on the rise, it's still known as a Christian nation. Kind of like United States, we're kind of a Christian nation, but we're still, you know, known for that. So is Ethiopia. And a lot of Ethiopians attribute that this Ethiopian eunuch was one of the ones that brought the gospel, because he was an influencer. He was in great position and authority, right? And so what if the entire nation of Ethiopia, this is one of the key players, all because we instantly drop what we were going to do to start a conversation with someone and bring some clarity of who Jesus is. So we need to be instantly obedient. Take a risk. What's the worst that can happen? You lose what, 30 minutes of your life? Come on. Because nations could change. Entire companies could change. What if you talk, you get sent and you just sit on a bench next to somebody at a park, start a conversation. Little you know, they are a CEO of a major corporation and, you know, nobody wants to move to York. But after that interaction, that guy goes, "You know what? There's just something about York. I don't know. I think we're going to set up a corporate headquarters here." And next thing you know, thousands of jobs open up, all because of one conversation. Let God do the rest. No matter how busy we are, we got to take time to put our antenna up for others. So here's my story. On Saturday, once again, I hate morning, but my friend had a baby. So, you know, once somebody has a baby, like, they're going to call all the shots because they have a baby. Like, they don't sleep for like 10 years and they're always tired and the kid's wonderful. But my friend's like, "Can we have breakfast at 9 in the morning in public?" Yes, you have a baby and I love you and I haven't seen you in a long time. So absolutely. So we met for breakfast at this diner, and it was a diner I'd never been to. And she said, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "Well, you know, we could go anywhere, but I haven't tried this one." She's like, "Let's go there." So we go there, and she was running a little bit late, and I was sitting there, and this waitress kept coming up, and she just, there's something about her. She had this beaming smile. Like, she's the waitress you want. Okay. And she keeps coming up, and she seems so familiar to me. Like, I didn't know why. I was like, I was like, "Do I know her? Has she been through the youth group?" I couldn't figure it out. Good thing I've been doing a study on how God talks to us. Because about halfway through our meal, I was like, "She just reminds me of someone." So I go, "Hey, do you have a family member named Chloe or Aaron?" And it's just a random kid that comes to our youth group occasionally. And I just really like her and her mom. I don't know them really well. But, you know, you just gravitate towards certain people. And she goes, "Actually, I do. But it was a different last name." Word of knowledge. Didn't even know. What does that do? God's just saying, "Hey, I see you." And I was like, "Oh, wait, this might be God. Okay, so you have two family members of these names. Yeah. Okay, but it's not the people I know." Okay, so she goes away and I go, "Okay, God, I think you're trying to talk to me. What do you want to say?" But my friend's talking. So active listening. So I'm listening to her. Women are good at multitasking. Okay. And I go, "Lord, if you would have me say anything to them, what do you want to talk to them about?" And all of a sudden, I just got these faint impressions, not an audible voice, just these thoughts. Why am I having thoughts about a stranger? Why not? And I heard, I felt something, a pure heart seeking God will find Jesus loves them. Really simple, kind of sounds generic. And I was like, okay, you know, all right, I'll tell him. And then all of a sudden I heard like this career path. Like, oh, okay. And then I didn't know the rest. I was like, okay, well, came to the thing and I go, hey, I just talk normal. I said, hey, I just there's something about you that seems so familiar. And I really feel like God just wants to tell you something. So I just have a message. And I just said, you know, just that same thing. I said, I just think you have a really pure heart and Jesus really loves you. And, I'm trying to remember the rest of it, but and anyway, I shared about that. And, what was I saying? Thanks, Lord. You know, I try to be careful what people's saying, but I said, I feel like you're at a crossroads and, it's about your career path and everybody, a lot of people in your life are telling you to go a certain way. And that seems logical and reasonable. See, all of a sudden I got the rest of the story. All that seems logical and reasonable. And they're kind of pushing you towards this thing, but there's something in you that wants to go this other way. Go in the way that you have peace. That's how God's going to guide you. And it's going to be awesome. And then it just stopped. I just stopped and she was just beaming. Thank you so much. Da, 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 da. Really simple. And then went back. Didn't make it weird. Didn't slam my hand on her head and, you know, just thus saith the Lord God. You know, I just talked to her. I talked to her. Like I was talking to Jesus and talking to her at the same time. So who knows what her life's going to do? Maybe she takes a career path that her family doesn't want her to do. And it becomes, maybe she becomes a head of this certain organization that, you know, starts orphanages in some place. Or maybe she becomes like a nurse that ends up saving so many lives. We don't know. Do we need to know the details? But we need to know we are obedient. Amen. All right. So where do we want to land the plane? I have like so many more notes. Okay. I just want to hit on some basic things real quick because I haven't gotten to it for the last 5 weeks. And I just want to talk real quick about, how do you know we're hearing the leading of the Holy Spirit? How do we know it's not us? I want to say this, the answer is always found in his presence. The more you familiarize yourself with the word of God and his voice and his character and his nature, it'll bring a lot of clarity. So a lot of it is just taking time to spend with him. I don't know about you. When I first started seeking God, it was like talking to a brick wall with a lot of crickets. Nothing. Just being honest. I grew up in church, but I didn't really start seeking God, really listening to him until I was in college. And so I was kind of frustrated by this and I thought something was wrong with me, but sometimes you just got to wait and enjoy the process. You know, when you first start dating somebody, you run out of things to talk about. You just sit there and watch a movie. It's just about being with them, you know, just be with them, you know, go watch the fireworks, whatever it is. Sometimes just being with them. Spending time with them, with parents. So my mom's a great cook, if you didn't know that. And she would spend a long time making a meal. And we had to sit down as a family and talk about our day. You roll your eyes until you actually realize I had a great home life, okay? So if you run in, grab a lasagna, thanks God, that was good, okay, bye. A lot of us, that's what we do. We open up our Bible app, gobble down, that was really good, bye-bye. I read a whole chapter. Yeah, you read a whole chapter. You didn't even talk to him about it. You didn't even sit there and just say, God, what do you want to talk to me about? Have a conversation over dinner, right? He wants to feed you through the word. But don't greedy grab a scripture and not even talk to him. All the parents are like, I know, right? You know? Okay. This is like a pro-parent day on this one. Let's see here. Okay. Let me think here. Prayer is a two-way conversation. We're in a cell phone age and, you know, it's fascinating trying to have a conversation with someone while they have one earbud in and they're on four different apps and music's playing in the background and they're talking to someone. It's hurtful. It doesn't make you feel valued. So I want to say this, like I actually encourage all my students to not read the Bible on their phone because even if I read the Bible on my phone sometimes, you know, some churches are so dark. I've literally been to churches that are so dark. I couldn't read my Bible. So you can only see it on the cell phone app. Legit. Okay. So, I always tell them, I said, we give a paper Bible out because you're less distracted. Turn your phone off, put it in the other side of the room and spend some time with him. If you need a paper Bible, they're free back there. Take as many as you want. All right. Set the mood with music. You know, on a date, you set the mood, you know, get a little Al Green in the background, you know, like set the mood. Okay. I love Motown music. I was raised on it. And Jesus. All right. So you set the mood, put some worship music on. What does it do? It shuts your brain up and gets you in some like good, positive thinking. Right. All right. Next thing, let me think here. Calm your heart from all distractions. So this is us right now. This was me after worship by the fourth song. I could just see what Holy Spirit, that oil, want to talk about. And I could just know where all my mind, my will, my emotions, my soul were, this water at the bottom, okay? But guess what? There's this thing called Monday. and we miss, my trash goes out of money. You miss the trash. The kid has a fever. You know, your neighbor just yelled at you because your tree branch fell on their side of the property. And, you know, and you got a bill in the mail you don't have money for. This is called, what do we have? Drama. This is called life. This is just life. And we get a little shaken up, right? So the reason why we got to wait on God and just spend some time with him with no agenda is it just takes time to calm our hearts. Well, what's God trying to say? Well, he's talking to you, but we're so shaken up with our emotions, the stress, the pressures, all the things we got to do that we're distracted. Why do you got to give God some time, some quiet time? You know, when you jump around in a lake, you can't see the bottom, right? It gets kicked up really fast. Our emotions, reasonings, plans, just my brain, if you know me, my brain is always running. You know, I may look like I'm smiling. I got 50 thoughts going through my head. I just have a very active mind. And so for me especially, I got to get quiet. Stop moving. You want to see the fish of the lake? Stop moving. Let things kind of settle. Calming our heart does take some time. Really helps when you put some worship music on the background. And you're going to start rising up slowly. You're going to start figuring out what's God and what's you. What's God and what's you? Settle your heart. You kind of follow me here? I'm slowing down. Settle your heart. In a time of decision, like maybe it's a job change, you know, like a big career path change, something like a big decision, what house to buy. You want to know what God's trying to say, but we're so stressed out about the decision, we can't hear. So I encourage you, take a time of fasting and prayer. Jennison Franklin has a great website with really good teachings on fasting. If anything, I tell all my students, I don't talk about food because they're a little bit young to handle that, but I talk about fasting social media, fasting, you know, like entertainment and things like that. Give that time to God. Just spend time with him. And what's going to happen? Hebrews 4:12, saturating yourself in the word is going to help you separate what's you and what's God. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is a living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the heart. It divides the soul and spirit. It exposes motives of the heart. Your reasoning can reason yourself into the wrong direction. Been there. Look good on paper. How many things look like God on paper? But we didn't spend enough time really fasting and praying. Other people's opinions can reason you in the wrong direction because you respect them. They're strong Christians, whatever. God needs to confirm what he's already telling you. So you got to settle your heart. Spend time in the word. If you saturate yourself in the word, it's going to divide motives of the heart. What we want, what God wants. And I tell my students this all the time. Let's play red light, green light with God. 101. Red light. Scratchy, uneasy feeling, kind of sick feeling about a decision. That's a no. That's a red light. Okay. Green light, joyful anticipation, kind of nervous about it, but it feels like the night before Christmas. Green light. God may call you something to do you're uncomfortable with, but you feel like it's a good thing, right? Yellow light. I got nothing. I have so many students, Pastor Sharon, praying about it. I don't hear anything. Yellow light. What does that mean? Slow down. Slow down. I tell people this all the time. The only difference between us and the crazies. Everybody say this. The only difference between me and the crazies. We don't make emotional decisions. That's what crazy people do. We all get a little crazy. Don't make a decision. Slow down. Wait. Pray. Romans 12, verse 2. Renew your mind. Scrub your brain down daily in the word every day. And then you'll know God's perfect will for your life. When we don't spend time in the word every day, we just get stinking thinking. Just clogs up the drain. We're just so full of emotions, irritations, frustrations. Ego, whatever it is. So spend your time in the word every day. God is constantly drawing you to encounter him. He wants your full attention. And I'll tell you, a lot of people, we are looking for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. In 1 Kings 19:11-12, the Lord's talking to the prophet Elijah there's this earthquake and there's this wind and there's this shaking and it's all these like crazy cool stuff. And God wasn't in any of it. It was just emotional circumstances, smoke and mirrors, fireworks. And all of a sudden he's got quiet. And the still small voice rose up. How did he know it was his voice? He's been spending a lot of time with God. He knows what he sounds like. If we are not saturated in the word outside our little one app Bible scripture every day, we're going to miss. He's talking to you all the time. He's talking to you all the time. It'll always line up with his word. Last thought. Okay. I'm going to do this in like 3 minutes. I've been wanting to get this because we need the practical thing. I'm talking about hearing God, but he's talking to us. We're just missing it sometimes. So he's going to bring scriptures to mind, right? So it's when you hide the word in your heart, it rises up. He's also going to give you pictures and words that form in your mind. So I practice this with my youth and young adults all the time. We'll get in the word. We'll have a time of prayer. And then we say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to talk to us about? And with me, I'm really picture oriented. I just get these God daydreams. I thought I was just distracted all the time in prayer. I thought I was like the least spiritual person ever because everybody else hears stuff. I got nothing. I'm just distracted. I'm like a daydreamer. What I didn't know is God was trying to talk to me. So maybe this impression in your heart, this fuzzy little God daydream, could be a thought, could be a lyric from a song. And all you got to go is, God, is that you? Try to find a scripture. Just Google a scripture that lines up with what you're seeing. If you're seeing a river, go look up scriptures on rivers. If you see a lion, go look up on scriptures online. What are you trying to talk to me about? He is going to give you a piece of the puzzle. So 1 Corinthians 12:8-9 says this, to one there is given through the Spirit a word, a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, to another prophecy. So a piece of a message of a word of knowledge is about your current situation or something in the past. A word of wisdom is about something that's going to happen. He's going to give you wisdom for it. A lot of things, it's like, remember when I had that impression? I was like, I kept thinking about two people every time I saw her. She had two family members by that name. What does that mean when God gives you a random fact about someone? Hey, you just got engaged. How'd you know? Somebody told me that recently, like their husband, like just really hears for someone. He went up to a neighbor. Hey, I heard you just got engaged. He's like, how'd you know that? I only told my mom. God knew that. And then he got to pray into his life. You might just randomly kind of blurt out something. You're pregnant. That's a dangerous one. Okay. How'd you know? Nobody else knew it. Don't blurt that one out. You got to really pray about that one. Like, okay. It gets their attention. God says, I see you. I know you. I care about you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I am with you. I value you. You may get an odd sensation in your body. Maybe you get a tingling in your elbow. Why is my elbow tingling? Hey, did you get an injury in your elbow? Yeah, how'd you know that? I messed it up in tennis. God wants to heal you right now. Okay, God talks to us all in different ways. But if we don't saturate ourselves with his word, we're going to miss it. So what is my number one thing about prophetic ministry? Word. Get in your Bible. Know his word. He's always talking to you. I'm going to talk more about that. I think I'm preaching in about 2 weeks or so. I'm going to leave you one thought. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It says, in the last days, now, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Everybody stand up. All people, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, build up, encourage, comfort people under the word of God. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. God's going to talk to everybody different, but he's talking to you, and he's probably talking to you right now. So we're just going to close our eyes, and the altars are open. Home grow group leaders can come forward. Youth leaders can come forward. And if you have a situation in your life that God, it's a decision. Grow group leaders, come forward. Home group leaders, come forward. If you're at a crossroads in your life, there's a decision. I want to tell you this. God's already talking to you. You just need some confirmation, need some clarity. They're going to come along to your side and encourage you by the Lord. And it may just be they pray for you and bless you. They might hear for your life, but we are to confirm what God is already talking to you about. Amen? I want you to practice this thing. If you want to move in the gifts of prophetic encouragement more, they'll pray for you and lay hands on you. If your passion to talk to non-Christians is just not there or it died, we're going to lay hands on you and stir that up in your life. Amen? So I'm going to pray. And like I said, if that's you, you can come on forward right now. Thank you, Jesus. And at the end of this prayer, you are dismissed. It's okay if you need to go somewhere. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We love you. We hear your voice. We hear your voice. We honor your voice. We honor your word above everything else in our life. Lord God, I thank you right now. I pray for a release of an incredible supernatural hunger for your word, for the Bible to become real and alive unlike ever before. Your word is alive. It's alive in us. And I thank you for a great awakening. A prophetic ministry of giving words of encouragement, comfort, and strength to the people around us, that we would not walk by hurting people anymore, that we would run in obedience to divine appointments, and lives would change, schools would change, businesses would change, our nation will change. In Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys. You are dismissed. And like I said, the altars are open for prayer. Thank you.